Chapter 4, Night in Chains. Melissa felt the van navigating through more turns, and the bustle of traffic became audible from inside her cage. She deduced they had entered a new town. After driving a bit further, the vehicle gradually came to a halt, then maneuvered backwards into what felt like a parking space before the engine cut out. She heard Carol leave the van, the door banging closed behind him, leaving a brief silence in his wake. Ultimately, Melissa had not been able to resist the arousal induced by the catheter's vibrations. Although she knew Carol was keeping an eye on her through the rearview mirror, she had succumbed to the need to relieve the sexual tension that had been mounting. Her orgasm had sent shivers of lust through her, albeit tainted by the knowledge that Carol was likely watching her in this private moment. She rationalized that it wasn't her fault. It wasn't about being brazen. No one could reasonably expect her to endure such prolonged stimulation without seeking some form of release. She attempted to keep her actions subtle, hoping that Carol wouldn't notice. Had he seen her do it? She didn't know. She had not dared to confirm this either way. Too afraid to meet his eyes in the rearview mirror if she did. She hoped that he hadn't watched her. The vibrations from the catheter had felt more intense after her release. They were no longer arousing her, but felt uncomfortable instead. Over time, the continuous vibrations had once again stirred feelings of arousal in Melissa. The urge for relief grew stronger, and she felt despair at the inevitability that the catheter's constant stimulation would drive her to seek sexual relief again, leading to a cycle of her debasing herself repeatedly under Carl's supervision. Melissa maneuvered herself into an upright, cross-legged seat, not wanting to be caught in an undignified position again when Carol returned for her. She discreetly positioned the urine bag between her vagina and her ankles and waited. Footsteps and conversation neared, then the van doors were opened. Melissa saw Carol accompanied by an officer in uniform clutching some documents. Carl was pulling a pallet with cages stacked on top of it. Carol took the cages one by one and loaded them into the cargo hold. Melissa saw one with a dog, two cats, and a chicken. Each animal was in their own little kennel. Carol secured each kennel next to Melissa's cage to the wall of the van using straps. After the cages were in place, the officer handed over the papers to Carol and departed. Carl came back into the van to inspect his work. Melissa asked him,
"Are we at the health office now?"
"No, this is the port,"
Carl replied.
"I had to pick up these for the health office as well."
Melissa sighed.
"This drive just never ends. I want out of this cage and I want these chains off."
"Normally for this route, I only pick up animals from the port and bring them to the health office. I was surprised to receive the pickup request from the airport today, so this has been an unusually long drive for me too."
Carol checked that the straps holding the cages were tight.
"The animals have been tranquilized for transport. That is why they are so well behaved. I have some tranquilizer in the med bag. Do you want some? I can give you an injection."
"No, I don't want to be injected with anything,"
she hastily replied, horrified at the idea.
"But I'm hungry and thirsty. Can I have some food?"
"You'll be fed at the health office, but I can give you some more Coke."
He got the bottle from the driver's cab and held it through the cage bars for her, so she could drink from it again. Melissa drank eagerly, trying to replenish the fluids she'd sweated out, pausing for breaths between sips. Carl was patient, repeatedly offering the bottle until she was satiated.
"Thank you, sir,"
she expressed, already sensing a fresh wave of perspiration forming with the new intake of liquid. The trip continued. By the time the van pulled over and stopped, it was pitch dark outside.
"Are we there now?"
she asked when Carl opened the doors of the cargo hold and came in.
"The health office is closed now,"
Carol told her. "We will spend the night here and go there tomorrow morning when they reopen." Melissa shut her eyes, processing this development.
But where will I sleep?
Carl pointed at her cage.
You can stay here. I have brought you an inflatable pillow so you will be more comfortable.
He slipped the pillow through the cage bars to her side. Struggling with the reality, Melissa questioned,
Are you saying I will have to spend the night in this cage?
When Carol gave her a confirming nod, she protested,
No, no, no. This can't be happening. I have been cramped in this tiny cage for so long now. And this...
She grasped the catheter's tube, protruding from her vagina, and lifting it slightly for emphasis.
This will stay in me all night?
Of course. You can't go to the bathroom while you're caged, and I don't want you to make a mess in my van.
Melissa exhaled deeply, fighting to quell the anger bubbling within her at this injustice. This was so unfair. She imagined Arbeck had by now checked into some cozy hotel, lounging in a plush bed, clothed, and certainly without an invasive tube in his urethra. He had the freedom to stretch out at will, while she couldn't even stand in this minuscule cage. Not to mention, he was unrestrained. She envied his chainless slumber and the luxury of a shower he must have enjoyed. Oh, how she longed for a shower. The scent of her own perspiration, accumulated over hours in the stifling cargo space, was now all too apparent to her. The thought of sleeping in her chains horrified her. Her wrists were hurting from the handcuffs. She couldn't bear being in them until tomorrow. Melissa pleaded with Carol.
Sir, please, can you take my chains off for the night? It is exhausting wearing them for so long. Please, I swear I won't make any trouble. I don't want to spend the night chained. I'm caged anyway. I can't run. Please, sir.
Carl gave her a compassionate look.
I'm afraid the chains have to stay on Melissa. This is for insurance purposes. If a slave is lost in transit, the insurance only pays if the slave has been caged and chained. It clearly says so in the terms and conditions of the insurance contract.
Just the handcuffs then, please. You would still have me chained by my ankles.
Carl considered that.
Maybe. If I take off your handcuffs, promise me you will not take advantage of it. No escape attempts and no reaching out of the cage.
Yes, sir.
Melissa replied with budding hope.
I swear, please, I will be good, sir. Just take the cuffs off me. They are hurting my wrists.
She held her cuffed hands in front of her. Carl reached into his pocket and retrieved a bunch of keys. He reached through the bars of Melissa's cage and opened the hated handcuffs.
Thank you, sir,
Melissa said, touched by the unexpected kindness Carl was showing her.
I just can't say no to a lovely lady.
Carol gave a friendly laugh as he snapped the handcuffs around the bars at the side of Melissa's cage. Melissa was now chained to her cage, but since she was also locked into it, that didn't matter. And the central chain was long enough that it didn't restrict her movement in the tiny cage. Melissa looked at her wrists, noticing the red, irritated skin caused by the handcuffs. She had painfully jerked against them earlier today, first when she had tripped on the stairs, and then again when the guard had used his taser on her. Even now, she would sometimes pull against them, not yet adjusted to her restraints. Previously, movement had been effortless, but now her attempts to move were frequently met with the painful bite of her chains. Carl saw this.
I think there is a cream in the med bag,
he said. He went out to fetch it from the driver's cab. He returned with a jar. He kneeled before Melissa's cage and, reaching through the bars of Melissa's cage, applied the ointment from the jar to her wrists. The ointment felt cool and soothing.
Thank you, Carl,
she said.
No worries, Melissa. You are so beautiful. Your master must be a lucky man.
Melissa smiled weakly, but didn't reply. Once finished, he closed the cargo hold's doors, extinguishing the light. Left in the dark, Melissa attempted to settle in for sleep. She positioned her head on the inflatable pillow Carl had provided, her head brushing against the cages and bars. She placed the urine bag to sit just south of her vagina between her legs, feeling a slight tug in her while moving it around. She arranged her legs in a triangular shape, with her upper thighs forming the sides and her lower legs crossed atop one another. Reaching up, she gripped the bars overhead, relishing the stretch in her shoulder after the prolonged restraint at her waist level. She listened as Carol settled into the driver's cab, likely converting it for rest. Silence eventually blanketed the space, with only the soft breathing of the animals in their respective cages audible. As her vision adapted to the darkness, faint starlight filtered through the window. Melissa was acutely aware of the catheter but tried to dismiss the sensation. She recalled the fateful events of the day, deeply regretting their ruse at the border and wishing she could make it undone. She thought about Arbeck and their relationship. She called him her boyfriend, but they had really only met a week ago at a party. Their relationship had taken off so quickly. Arbeck was spontaneous and full of joy, unburdened by excessive concern, markedly different from her usual circle of white friends. His spontaneity had initially charmed her, but today, his lack of foresight had led to a day with more suffering and humiliation for her than she could ever have imagined. Melissa wondered what Arbeck was doing. He would probably be in bed by now. Was he worrying about her? She hoped so. Her life was in his hands. These people here viewed her as his slave now. That meant he owned her. Once he had her, he could do with her whatever he wanted. If he decided not to free her, he could force her to serve him. To do whatever he wished, she had no rights. He could whip her into compliance. He could sell her if he wanted. As a white girl, she would fetch a high price, she was sure. People would pay for having an exotic slave girl like her. Arbeck could make a lot of money selling her if he wanted. Then she would likely end up as a maid and sex slave to a rich Grabesian man for the rest of her life. She shuddered at the prospect. Could he have deliberately tricked her into coming here and becoming his slave to do that? Had it all been part of a big plan? If so, it had worked. She was enslaved and at his mercy. The idea seemed too sinister, yet it haunted her. But Arbeck would never do that to her, would he? No, he wouldn't, she was sure. Although she had only known him for a week, she was sure that he was not mean-spirited. There was no malice in him. And he had great friends, three friends to be precise, one guy and two girls. All three were from Grabesh. She knew them and they had accepted her into their friend group. No, they would not be friends with Arbeck if he was a bad person, she concluded. He would get her out of here. He would track her down wherever Carol was bringing her, to this elusive health office, and get her out of the clutches of this system. But would he? New doubts entered her mind. He was not mean-spirited, but he also lacked discipline and was easily distracted. Would he persist in searching for her, or simply move on when he didn't find her at the airport? She hoped he would. They had not been a couple for long. She called him her boyfriend, but had he ever called her his girlfriend? She tried to recall an example, but couldn't. Did she mean enough to him to be worth the effort of rescuing her? Yes, she told herself. He would not give up on her so easily. She was a pretty girl, and he couldn't keep his hands off her. But what if he met another woman here? Would he be distracted and forget about her? No, that was absurd. She had to stop worrying, she told herself. She had to sleep. She tried to shut out these thoughts and find some rest. Tomorrow she would be delivered to the health office. She would get through their checks, and then hopefully Arbeck would pick her up and free her. Her thoughts kept running on for a long time until she finally drifted into an unsteady sleep.